Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. This week, John Faso returned to Washington, D.C. after a week off, where he did not announce any events on his public schedule webpage. The website 538.com currently reports that Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 86.6% of the time.
Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. U.S. Representative John Faso introduced legislation on February 15th that would establish an incentive program for businesses to move the U.S. economy away from fossil fuels and identify new ways to combat climate change. The bill would direct the Secretary of Energy to establish Climate Solutions Challenges, a program to organize prize competitions on five topics, including carbon capture, energy efficiency, energy storage, climate resiliency, and data analytics to better understand climate and weather or to better inform the public about the topics. Faso spokesman Joe Jarrett said, and I quote, Representative Faso opposes defunding climate change research. He opposed an effort in the House to remove the Department of Defense's responsibility to examine impacts of climate change on military assets, end quote. Announced as a bipartisan effort, the Kinderhook Republican is working with Illinois Democratic Representative Daniel Lipinski on the legislation. Asked if Faso's bill goes far enough to shift the U.S. economy away from fossil fuels, Karen Fishkoff, a member of the Citizens Climate Lobby's Columbia County chapter, said, and I quote, The bill is something. I don't think it will do enough to move the economy from fossil fuels to renewables. You need to change how people spend their money, end quote. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that U.S. Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, has no plans to return donations to his campaign from the National Rifle Association, calling calls for that action, quote, a political smear, end quote. Instead, Faso wants Congress to investigate why the FBI failed to act on a tip about the Florida school shooter. Interviewed on C-SPAN's Washington Journal show, Faso said he supports tightening background checks for gun buyers, increasing the age to purchase a semi-automatic rifle, and outlawing bump stocks, devices that turn semi-automatic rifles into automatic weapons. Faso opposes federal efforts to give teachers guns because, quote, you need intense training in order to carry a firearm in a very difficult situation, like you might confront in a school shooting, end quote. But he said each state could decide to give teachers guns. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Here is John Faso on C-SPAN talking about his gun policies on February 27th.
Congressman Faso, remind us what the Fix NICS Act is.
It's basically intended to correct gaps that exist in the background check system. You remember the shooting in the church in Texas? That was by a dishonorably discharged Air Force veteran whose background should have been disclosed. He had obviously caused problems in the Air Force, and he also had a domestic violence issue. And this was never disclosed in the background check. It was never provided to the background check system, and it should have been. So part of Fix NICS is to encourage states to provide information. Some states are very good with it, other states are not, but also to force federal agencies like the Defense Department and the military branches to report personnel who clearly should not have been able to purchase a firearm.
So it strengthened the background check system. Would it expand it, though? Would it cover things like purchases at gun shows, which have been so much of a concern?
No, it doesn't do that. But what it does do is it, keep in mind, the existing background check system was greatly expanded to include mental health a number of years ago. And that has resulted in close to 200,000 people being denied a purchase of a firearm because of a mental health issue. And so much of what that system is today is working fine, but there are clear gaps. One of the obvious gaps that I see in relation to the shooting on Valentine's Day down in Florida was this young man had multiple times, some say over 30 occasions, where police were called to his home because of violence or other threatening issues, and yet the fact that this young individual, that had never been adjudicated, meant that it was never reported. Now, we have to, protecting people's personal liberty and due process. We have to figure out a way in which someone who presents a multiple and continued threat in his school, he had violent incidents in his school. There were incidents where police were called to his home, where relatives called police to his home because of things he was doing. This type of individual not only shouldn't have been able to buy a firearm, he shouldn't have been able to buy a BB gun. And so we have to figure out a way that, again, protecting individual rights and due process, where certain people, particularly people that clearly are disturbed and troubled, as this young man was, where those people are also flagged as not being eligible to purchase a firearm.
Explain the legislative ins and outs here, because wasn't the Fix NICS Act passed by the House in December?
Yeah, the House passed it. It was contained with the concealed carry reciprocity legislation, which many on the left oppose. I have supported that legislation, the concealed carry. I represent a district where many, many sportsmen and firearms owners are troubled by the fact that they could run afoul of the law simply by crossing a state line. They would still have to obey the laws within those states, but the mere possession, if they have legal authority to carry from their state, the mere possession crossing a state line would not be a crime. So that was contained within the Fix NICS bill, was contained within legislation that contained concealed carry. As far as I'm concerned, because of the situation that we're dealing with today and because of the overwhelming public response, we should, and that's what this letter says that I and Leonard Lance and other Republicans signed to the Speaker, we should move forward and address this particular issue and do it quickly.
So it would be a separate standalone vote on this issue?
That's correct.
Did you get a response from the Speaker?
Not yet, but we just got back last night to Washington. Senator Cornyn, I've read in the newspaper, he's the sponsor of this legislation in the Senate. It's a bipartisan bill with Senator Murphy from Connecticut. He has said that his newspaper reports that he's doubtful that it could pass the Senate given the 60-vote threshold if the concealed carry piece was contained within it. So therein lies the rub. We've got to figure out a way to come up with a compromise to move this forward.
The House of Representatives, with Representative John Faso's vote, approved sex trafficking legislation February 27th, making it easier for states to prosecute websites that facilitate prostitution and sex trafficking. The final vote was 388-25, but that is misleading. Democrats didn't want to appear to vote against a sex trafficking bill called the Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act. An earlier vote to end amendments to the bill passed just 235-175. Again, with Faso, a Republican from Kinderhook, voting with the majority. Democrats and critics of the bill say it could undermine a key legal protection for free speech online. The House bill changes Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. That section of federal law lets internet websites allow public comment without worrying about getting sued for what someone else posts on their site. The act, quote, would punch a major hole in Section 230, enabling lawsuits and prosecutions against online platforms, including the ones that aren't even aware that sex trafficking is taking place, end quote, the Electronic Frontier Foundation wrote on February 27th. The companion legislation in the U.S. Senate, called the Stop Enabling Sex Trafficking Act, currently has a hold placed on it by civil liberties champion Ron Wyden, effectively freezing any action there. Casey Seiler reports for Capital Confidential that Representative John Faso's feud with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is back on. This week, the Kinderhook-based Republican wrote to the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Tax Policy asking whether Cuomo's proposal to make certain state and local tax payments eligible for charitable tax deductions is legal. Cuomo's proposal is designed to offset the increase in taxes for New Yorkers caused by the recently passed Republican tax plan. Faso voted against that plan and has denounced it for raising taxes on New Yorkers. But the congressperson and Cuomo have been in a year-long Twitter fight and clearly do not get along on most issues, even, like here, when they largely agree. Faso's letter asks Assistant Secretary for Tax Policy David Cowder for an open letter which would explain if Cuomo's proposal could draw a legal challenge. Quote, I have had many questions from constituents as to whether the state initiative will be compliant with federal law and regulation governing charitable deductions, end quote. Faso's letter, which was released February 28th, says, quote, would such payments or contributions meet the test for a charitable deduction, since presumably the taxpayer is receiving benefits from the governmental units and school districts for the contributions donated, end quote. Cuomo spokesman Rich Azzapardi responded in an email, quote, this is John Faso's M.O. Stand by while his fellow Republicans raise income and property taxes on his constituents and then try to undermine efforts to protect New Yorkers from these vicious hikes. The people of his state aren't stupid and will see right through this stunt, end quote.